Good morning, church. How's everybody this nice, cool morning? I'll read to you as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Psalm 8, great psalm. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Is that your heart this morning? Is this on? Y'all out there? I guess I need to read that again. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Don't you love that? The work of your fingers. The moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
That's good stuff, church. That's the God that we come to worship today. This God that I just envision. He's spinning the planets on his finger. He casting them into the sky. That's the God. And yet, as he navigates through the whole universe, he's mindful of you. He loves you. He's created you. He walks with you. Let's invite him this morning. Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome in this place, and we are humbled that you love us. We welcome those in our sanctuary. We welcome those worshiping at home through our live stream. Father, would you stir us? Would you change us? Would you bless us this day? Would you teach us how to be more like you? We praise you, and we praise that name that is above every name. Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able as we worship.
Good morning, church. Let's lift up our voices one to a holy and loving God and thank him for his amazing grace that he freely offers to us.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. I'll sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life seen for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Our Lord's grace and love just defies all logic because he chose us before he even created the world. He chose each and every one of us, it tells us in Ephesians, because he takes good pleasure in us and he loves us and he sees us through the lens of Christ. So that grace is freely offered. It's not something you'll ever earn, you'll ever be good enough or ever deserve, but the grace of God has chosen you and invites you into the family of God. So this morning, your act of worship is to look on the goodness of God. And it's to also humble yourself and surrender and say, Lord, I will never be good enough. But instead, Jesus, come in to my heart and save me and transform me that I may be like you. So this morning, as we worship, I pray for myself to be transformed into the image of Christ. And I encourage you as well to ask God to make you like him through the power of his Holy Spirit. And that each and every one of us may be just a little closer with him when we leave this place this morning.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Yeah.
Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. Children, y'all come on forward for your children's message, and the rest of you, you may be seated.
Question for you. Does anyone here know when summer officially started? I didn't think so. It officially started this last Wednesday, June 21st, because it's called the summer solstice. And it's because it is the day that the sun lasts the longest in the sky over our head, right? And so we officially call that the start of summer. And I'm here like, oh my goodness, we're talking about the sun and the light again, and we just got over Vacation Bible School where we talked about the light. And I'm here like, how is light important to us? When we think of the sun and all that sun that comes down, how is that important to us? Any ideas, any thoughts?
Shine Jesus'
light. You can't say that enough. You can't say that enough. But the sun coming down, what does it do for us?
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D. It helps our own bodies. We get vitamin D out of it. Yes.
The sun's like God.
The sun is powerful like God, definitely.
It warms up the pool so we can go
through. I'm going to add to that and say it warms up the earth. Because can our plants grow in the cold, frozen soil? No, it needs the warmth and the heat, and so the sun gives it warmth, right? And matter of fact, the sun helps plants grow. I can tell you places where the sun is in the sky longer, because I lived in Alaska, so they can grow some big vegetables there. So it helps vegetables and plants grow. And it, like, shines, it helps us see, right? Who can see without the sun shining? At least through the clouds, right? You need some sunlight. Otherwise, it's dark and we can't see. So all this led me to the verse in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So is this saying that if I stood next to a plant, all of a sudden the plant would start growing because I have Jesus' light? No, it's not that kind of light, is it? What's it trying to tell us? What do you think? There you go. I like that thought. Yes, but the idea is that we have Jesus' light in us, and we are supposed to touch and exhibit that to people around us, right? When we make bad choices so that we disobey God and we are maybe angry, maybe just don't want to be next to someone, that's like bringing some darkness right into the world with you, right? Because you're affecting the people around you with your anger and with not wanting to talk to someone or not being willing to sit with someone or walk with someone. Or maybe you're just disobeying, and by disobeying you're causing some chaos around you through your school classroom or at home. And all that is like bringing darkness in. But with Jesus, when we let Jesus shine his light through us, that is like obeying God. That is like bringing other things to people. Can people think of ways that we can influence other people with Jesus' light? Being kind to each other? Yes? Obeying parents and teachers? Right? If you see someone drop some things and you go and help pick them up, is that shining Jesus' light? You are influencing the people around you through the light that comes through. You can bring darkness around you, or you can bring light, and you've got a choice to make there. All right, so then I got to thinking, I grabbed some seeds, and I got to think, can seeds grow in the darkness in their bags? No, they can't. They need light. And then on top of that, I got to thinking about seeds. Let's just look at the back instead of me taking them out. Think of each person you meet as being a different kind of seed. We all look different, we all act different, we all kind of grow into different things, but we all need the sun, right? And Jesus' light is the best light. So as we're going around through our lives and we're liking people and not liking people, whether we like them or not really doesn't matter. Our job is to shine Jesus' light. Just like we need sun and water for the flowers. We need to be sun and water for the people around us. And we need to touch each other's lives with that joy, Jesus' joy, whether we like them or not. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, thank you for the sun and the light that it gives us. Thank you for coming to the earth and bringing your light to us. And please help us to be light to others as we come upon them and meet them each and every day. Help us to do things that show your light to others. This I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody worshiping in the building. Again, once again, those of you who are worshiping online, glad that you've joined us this morning as well. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service or check into the online service through the app. Once again, that helps us to identify the people who aren't able to connect with us over the summer, perhaps. So please do that. That will help us a lot. Immediately following this service, we will have an informational meeting about the Israel trip that's taking place in February. Our pastor is leading that trip, and so that will be immediately following the service. Also, our Sunday night community groups start back tonight. If you want to get connected to a group, please see me this morning. If you're able to, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Man, some great truths that unite our heart. So this morning as we pray, I want to give people an opportunity to be prayed over if they choose to do that. And we do this from time to time. If you have a need that you would like for someone to pray over, you don't have to say anything. I would ask you to indicate that need by standing, and then we would love to surround you and just cry out to the Lord for that need. So does anybody need prayer this morning? Go ahead and feel free to stand. And this is an incredibly safe place. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody, but this may be your opportunity. This may, maybe Jesus brought you in this building today because you need prayer. So anybody else? Okay, let's surround these that are standing. Ever need a prayer, if you want to share with the people surrounding you, you may do so. If not, that's okay. You can just remain silent, and I'm going to ask somebody to lead out in these groups, and let's cry out to the Lord for them, and then I'll close this in a little bit. Father, God, we love you. Lord, I just ask that you move in power in the lives of these that are standing. And Father, you know full well the need. You know full well the outcome. You know full well what brought them to this place. So Lord, I don't know if it's financial, I don't know if it's health related, I don't know if it's just encouragement, I don't know if it's discouragement, I don't know if it's depression, anxiety. But Jesus, you hung on a cross to overcome all of those things. And so move in power. God, receive the prayers of your children. I just feel led to pray for encouragement for some, either standing or not standing, and Lord, they may be hanging on by a thread. Just speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit, that Jesus can make a way when it looks like there is no way. Just bless those people. Father, I thank you for grace and mercy. I thank you for the grace that our pastor is going to preach about this morning. And Lord, we have a responsibility to pursue the things that you've already desired for us to walk in. And so, Lord, would you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you help us, convict us, stir us, be who we already are, to become who we already are. Father, pour out your Spirit on us. Lord, I pray that all of us are impacted this morning. We may have come in this building not expecting anything from you, but God, would you surprise us? Would you surprise us? Touch us deeply, God. And again, Lord, bless these that are standing, these that said, Jesus, I need you. Would you honor that, Lord? Would you honor that? Oh, Father, you're so, so good to us. We thank you for this time. We thank you that we can gather as your children, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you. I thank you for this opportunity we have to pray to you. What an incredible privilege it is to cry out to Creator God, the God of the universe, who is mindful of us. We thank you for this time. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Remind you, we have offering boxes by the door, giving opportunity. Also, you can text to give, the number on the screen. You can also give electronically. I want to remind you that we'll have several people after the service available for prayer. If you need prayer, please take advantage of that.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song.
Let's make this our prayer.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like I be like you.
Well, good morning again, church. I see the bulletins are getting used well this morning. Lots of fanning going on. Probably the best use of those bulletins ever. So let me tell you what's going on. I know some of you are a little warm. We have 6 units going on in here, and they've been running since 4 a.m. Just having a little trouble keeping up. So I apologize for a little bit warm, but you know, it's not as warm as it is outside. How's that? So, if you are a guest this morning, besides being a little warm, I hope that you feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit. How did I transition into that? You like that? If you're our guest, we do hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place, and we hope you feel the love of His people. We love new people. We love new people. So glad that you're here. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out. Certainly don't, you don't have to do that, but I would love for you to bring that, and I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be down at this end of the foyer and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. None of you members try to masquerade as first time guests getting the free gift. Some of y'all how you roll. All right, Ephesians chapter 4 is where we are today. If you'll turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 11. It was He, speaking of Jesus, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Does it sound like he's describing today, our culture today? Instead, he says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited You, and we have Your promise that You are with us where two or more are gathered together in Your name. And we're here. We're gathered. We ask You, Holy Spirit, now to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series we've been doing the third week here. How sweet the sound, how sweet the sound. Today's message is God's maturing grace. Now, I've said the last couple of weeks, we've talked about grace and how God, that grace is grace, but if we break it down in little chunks, it helps us to maybe perhaps understand God's grace, the complexity, the enormousness of His grace a little better. Today's God's maturing grace, we've talked about God's pursuing grace and God's redeeming grace, how He pursues us, and when we surrender to Him, He redeems us and saves us from our sin, and how today He matures us. So to mature, the Bible uses another word that they're kind of interchangeable to a certain degree. The Bible calls it sanctification, that there's this sanctifying process. God's maturing or sanctifying grace is the Holy Spirit at work in you after justification. Now, justification, when we refer to justifying grace, is where God saves us, makes us right, cleanses us from our sin. So when that happens, it's not, I say this often, it's not the finish line, it's the starting gate. That God, there's still more. Jesus is not through with us. I said in my email this week Jesus, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, but He doesn't want to leave us that way. He wants to mature us. He wants to sanctify us and so forth. You may have noticed, I've had this up here before, And I've talked about it, and I want to talk about it again because it fits. In my mind, it helps me understand this topic we're on today. So some of y'all have been on a walk to Emmaus. Some of you haven't, but I'll just tell you one of the things. The leader of a walk is called a lay director. And each time that there is a walk to Emmaus, the lay director gets a special cross for that walk, and they carry it with them throughout the weekend and so on and so forth. A few years ago, Cheryl was a lay director, and she asked me to make her a cross for the walk. And I dabble a little bit with woodworking, and I dabble a little bit with stained glass, and I said, do you want a wooden cross, or do you want me to make one out of stained glass? Yes, to both. She wanted both, and so I... Okay, let's see. How am I going to do that? So this is the end result of that pursuit. I don't know how well you can see it. I think Dennis was going to, for our live stream, was going to get a close-up of that. You got wood around the border, and you got pieces of glass inside. Now, these little pieces of glass are what I normally call scrap or trash. And here's the way it normally happens when I'm working with stained glass. I'm cutting pieces and I'm grinding pieces, and you end up with just little broken pieces that can't be used. And here's what I normally do with the scrap. I get a trash can and I put it along the edge of my workbench and I scrape it in to be thrown away, discarded. In this particular instance, I thought, what a beautiful thing to take this scrap and try, in my limited ability, to try to create something beautiful from this broken scrap glass. I think it turned out pretty well. But I am a rookie. I'm a novice when it comes to workmanship. God is a master. He takes broken trash, scrap, and he doesn't throw it away. He makes something beautiful out of it. If you've ever felt like you were trash or scrap, I want to tell you, put yourself in the master's hands. Let's see what he can do with you. He's got a plan. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this maturing, this sanctifying grace. First point I want to dive into, God, in his sanctifying grace, seeks to make us pure, mature, and holy. This passage we read today out of Ephesians chapter 4, God's ultimate goal in verse 13, to become mature, for us to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:15. And he also says that we're to grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. 1 Peter says it this way, you, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. So couple of difficult things. I'm going to teach a little bit on some of this, but in 2 Corinthians 5, we read, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So I get this question a lot. So if we are a new creation in Christ, if we're saved by grace through faith, and our sins are washed as white as snow, why do we go on sinning? Anybody ever thought of that? I mean, why do we go on sinning? If we are no longer covered in our sins, why do we go on sinning? Now, I've tried to go this route before. I'm going to do it again. Romans 7 says, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So if you can see yourself in two parts, flesh and the spirit, spirit and the flesh. So outside of Christ, we are lost. The punishment for our sins is death. We're separated from God. So both spirit and flesh, we are lost. Through Christ, what Christ took upon himself, the debt that we owed, he took that upon himself on the cross. He died for our sins. When we have received that, when we have said yes to that, what He has done for us. In the Spirit, we are elevated, we are made righteous and holy in the sight of God. I love this passage where Scripture tells us we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Don't you love that? Now, that's good news, church, right there. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So our spirit, when God looks at us with spiritual eyes, He sees the righteousness of Jesus. If you're out there, just shake your head if you're still hearing what I'm saying. Here's the rub. We got this nasty old flesh to deal with. That's the part that goes on sinning. So God sees us with spiritual eyes. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But we've got to deal with this flesh. I love this passage where Jesus is coming to His moment on the cross. He's in the garden, and we read that He's so anxious, and there's a medical condition. I won't get into all that. Some of the doctors can tell me. Anyway, there's a medical condition where the capillaries in your sweat glands burst and blood enters, and you can literally, under great duress, you can sweat blood. It's Scripture. They didn't know that medical condition 2,000 years ago, but they wrote what they saw. Jesus' sweat became like drops of blood. He was so anxious that His capillaries and His sweat glands broke. Blood entered in. When he's in that state, He had told the disciples, stay here and pray, and I'm going to go pray. He comes back and He finds them on their knees praying so diligently. That's not what Scripture tells us? Oh, no, He came back and He found them what? Sleeping. He came back, He found them sleeping. And here's what He said. And this is that flesh and that spirit thing. He said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. You want to carry it out, but you can't do it. This flesh has to be dealt with. We've dealt with the Spirit through the blood of Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ in the Spirit, but the flesh is weak. It has to be, something has to give here. Philippians 3, those in Christ put no confidence in the flesh. And it goes on to say, let us live up to what we have already attained. And I, a few years ago, I preached on a similar topic. And I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this. The Holy Spirit is helping us become what we already are. And that's paraphrasing of this Scripture. Become what we already are. It let us live up to what we've already attained. Spiritually, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And Christ is saying, but I want the flesh to match. I want the flesh to match. I want people to see in the flesh what I've already done in the Spirit. So here's how we do that. Are you ready? We try really, really hard. No? That's not how we do it? That's why a lot of us try. We try really, really hard to be good. Maybe it's just me that has fallen into that trap. And so, no, that's not how we do. Second point, God in His sanctifying grace works through His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, sanctifying us. Now, so the first thing I want to say is that Jesus in John 17 said it this way, sanctify, these are the words of Christ, sanctify them, speaking of the disciples, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. Now here's, you've heard me say this before if you've been around very long here. Open up your Bibles and read it. Please don't just, well, the preacher said that this is what, you know. Man, people have died so that you and I can have this in our hands. Centuries ago, the church didn't want the common man to have the Bible because they wanted to tell you what it said. And guess what? Corruption snuck in, and they began to say things that were not biblical, things like, hey, you want your Uncle Billy to, no offense, Billy, I'm not talking about this one. Let me pick another name. Eugene. Is there any Eugenes in the room? You want your Uncle Eugene that passed away a couple years ago to be in heaven? Give enough money to the church. That's what this says. And we'll pray him in. No. It's not what God's word says. So, this is precious. Jesus said, sanctify them, make them holy, mature them through the truth, and this word is truth. But then it also says in Romans that we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It's a process that's happening through Him. We still have a responsibility, we'll get to that, but reading God's word, one of the things I mentioned in the early service, I had a professor, one of my professors that I really liked and thought he was really sound. And he said this about God's word. He said, you need to understand that God's word is twice inspired. Once when it was written and once when you read it. And what that means is when you read God's word, when you're opening it up, it's not just something we do again, just like, well, preacher said I'm supposed to read the Bible, so I guess I'll read the Bible. No, it's a living word. God has something to teach us. He has something He wants to change us through His written word. So when you open it up, you might say a little prayer that's something like, Lord, what do you have to teach me today through your word? You show me. I'm surrendering myself to your Holy Spirit as I read your word. Twice inspired. So Paul talked this whole idea of, you know, the trouble is many of us fall into this even as Christians. We're saved by grace through faith, and that flesh, we try to attain that in our own strength. And Paul ran into it in the church in Galatia, and here's what he told them. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? He's saying, spiritually, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're trying to match that. You're trying to become like Christ in the flesh in your own effort, in your own strength. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Which leads me to the third point. God's sanctifying grace is an ongoing process that brings Him glory. As our flesh begins to catch up with our spirit, as we mature, as we're sanctified and we become more like Christ, that brings Him glory. 2 Corinthians 3, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Philippians 1, I love this passage. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He began the good work in you. And He's not through. He's still at work. And here's another. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The problem with this whole sanctification process is many times it happens through brokenness. And nobody likes brokenness. Anybody like brokenness? Through loss, through struggles. James 1:3, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, through the brokenness of our life, through the brokenness of our life, God is trying to create something beautiful. He's at work. The way an illustration helps me, just a visual illustration. When I was working on this cross, I have a workbench. And I had all the I had all the pieces laid out, and I began to sort them and figure out how they'll fit together and do a little bit of cutting and grinding just to make the pieces fit together better. And design. I designed it where there's, I have this piece has four red pieces that I put where the nails went in his hands and the nails went in his feet and the crown of thorns that went across his head. And so I was gave this some, I hope there was some inspiration in how I did this, but I'm laying it all out on this workbench, and I began to work on it and piece it together and create what I created. God wants to do the same thing with us, but here's the dilemma. The dilemma is, we don't have to put ourselves on his workbench. He's not going to force us to lay ourselves on his workbench. And secondly, even if we lay ourselves on his workbench, we have feet, we have legs. We can walk off at any time we want to. Sometimes, and if those pieces of glass could feel as I was cutting and grinding and wrapping and soldering, it wouldn't have been pleasant if that glass could feel. And sometimes when we're on God's bench, it's a painful time. I don't know about you, but the times I have really grown in the Lord have been through struggle, been through trials, been through brokenness in my own life. But God wants us to lay ourselves on his bench and let him make something beautiful out of us. About a month ago, I've been preaching on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. About a month ago, I preached on verse 6, Matthew 5, 6. And it says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And so that's brokenness. That's when I tell people this often who are struggling with something. They're anxious or they're really, something's weighing really heavy on them. I've said it to some people in the last couple of weeks. You gotta let go. You can't control this. God is your answer. You gotta release it to him. You gotta let him have it. I've had moments like that in my own life. So brokenness, I believe, many times causes us to press into God, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And God's word says, in fact, Jesus said, "You will be filled." If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you press into me, you will be filled. Church, God wants to create something beautiful in us. Are you ready to surrender it to him? Whatever you're going through, maybe you're going through a really great time right now where everything's in alignment. I don't want to be the voice of doom, but it probably won't last forever. You know? Because this world's difficult. We run through trials all the time. God wants to take the brokenness of our lives, the scrap, the trash, and make something beautiful. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, thank you that you love us enough to walk with us through the brokenness of our life, God, the struggles. And man, this, Jesus, you said it. In this life, we'll have trouble. It's hard. Sometimes it's harder than others. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit right now that you'll move out and through us. You'll move into the people that are struggling, that are going through that sanctification process. It's painful right now. Father, you want to do something incredibly good and beautiful. You are the master craftsman. Would you do what only you can do? Help us to become what we already are. Help us, help our flesh to match our spirit. Do it through the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Help us to be God's masterpiece. May we lay ourselves on your workbench, and may we surrender to the master's hand. We love you and we trust you, and we pray it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, as we close, the altar rail is open. You come and pray. I know there will be people that will pray with you after the service. I will be at the end of the foyer. Would love to greet you, greet our guests. If you do not know that Jesus that I'm talking about, he knows you and he loves you. Don't leave this place without talking with me about that. If you'll rise if you're able as we close.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
immediately after the service. If you're interested in finding out more about the Holy Land trip, just meet in here, and it will hopefully be a short time. Jesus says, put no confidence in the flesh, but live up to what you have already attained. And he says, I'm here to help. That's good news. Go and tell someone. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.